All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
And I hear the first officer call out. And the first officer jumps on the radio and he screams, "Holy shit, it's the goat man." And I mean, it just like everything went quiet. And I could hear the ringing in my ears and I could feel my heart race. And so I hit my lights and I went flying up there.
I've been told by some older people, elders, that you grab them and you hold them and you don't own them, but you hold them there until daylight. If you can hold them or pull them into the light, it destroys anything they have, any kind of power or anything that, or anything they were trying to do to you, it'll destroy them.
This guy was like bouncing, like, you know, like how you see people kind of getting ready to jig, you know how they kind of bounce? Yeah, he was like that way. He was just kind of bouncing and he was just kind of going back and forth on one foot to the other. And he just kind of turned sideways and he turned back over to the other way. And he took off. Holy shit, he jumped in Wanda.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Lodge Tales and I'm your host, Rod Williamson. So this episode, I sit down with some family members up at the EMS office, the ambulance, you know, medical response, their office up there, and we share some ghost stories. And I don't know what's going on, but you can hear kind of like some knocking going on during this recording, but I didn't hear knocking while I was recording it. And just something fun to do, I guess. Just kind of pay attention to listen. You'll hear it here and there. I suspect it could be a chair. But again, I didn't hear any knocking like that. So whatever, maybe I'm just trying to be too spooky. But you can make of it what you will. But I thought it was interesting when I was going through and doing the editing process of this episode. And before we get any further, I just need to thank everybody for being here and for listening to the stories. You know, I can't thank you guys enough for always wanting more content and being there and being willing to listen to the episodes and even giving the feedback. The feedback is, for a creator, feedback is one of the things that we really enjoy and we really like to have, you know, because it gives us a little bit of direction and it just lets us know that there's interest in the show. I mean, for us, that's the little gold nuggets, if you will, you know, that we get out of it. So I encourage you all, even if it's just, hey, that's a good show, you know, put some feedback wherever you can. And I would appreciate it. You know, I always try to respond to every bit of it, every last bit of the feedback that you guys give me, because I get it in different places. And I'm always trying to be on top of it, right? And so, again, the places where you can add that feedback is any YouTube video that's out there. Spotify, I want to say, start allowing us to write back on there. Patreon, you can add comments there as well. And if you go to Facebook, the Lodge Tales group, you can course add some comments there. But in the one chat room on that one, there's a few ghost stories that get told there too. If you want to read them, just different people will share things in there. I mean, it's not too huge, but you know, there's a few things in there that you might find interesting. I try to post different videos in there and pictures. I'm gonna put some more on that one too, because they're there's just some creepy things that I have, but I want to share those there as well. That's the Facebook group, Lodge Tales. And there are more places, you know, like TikTok. If you, I know there's a lot of, you know, uncertainty surrounding TikTok, but Lodge Tales on TikTok, I'm there too. And you can interact with me and direct message me right on there too. You know, I have a public account for us, and that's what I created it for, was one, to get the word of the podcast out there a little further, and two, to allow for more direct interaction. If you have questions or ideas or, you know, suggestions for improvement or, you know, possible collaborations, or you want to come on the show, it's all there, and it's open for us to communicate with one another. So I encourage y'all to do that. Now, when I sat down to do this recording, I played the mic that I used, I played it just to test, and I listened, and I got all the sounds right where I wanted it to be, where I thought it would pick up the best. It's an AKG microphone, USB microphone, that can catch front and back, and so that's how I kind of had it set up. And we're sitting at this table, and the mics is kind of in the best position I can get it to where it can hear three of us talking. And that's kind of the way I set that recording up and how we did that. Well, when I first got there that night, these two family members of mine had to go out. One is my sister. My sister had to head out, and the other one's one of my other family. I'm pretty sure he wants to remain anonymous, so I don't really want to say what relation he is to me, you know? So I'll just respect that and just say one of my other relations. And so they got a call and had to leave, and I was sitting in that office all alone. And that's when I start testing the mic. So I was going around, like there was a dripping faucet that was really showing up loud on the mic. There was something on top of this refrigerator that was vibrating. So I had to move that and position it to where it wasn't banging on that thing it was sitting next to. So while I was doing that, I sat back down, and it was totally quiet in there. And I just sat there for kind of like a long time, just sitting there listening, like with them, just trying to make sure everything was right. And then I thought, you know what, I'm just going to sit here and listen. And that's when I started hearing those weird little knocks. I don't know what they are. For all I know, it could be the chair I'm sitting on. I don't know. But they are weird. And they show up periodically throughout the podcast. But nobody was, like, pounding on a table or knocking. Nobody was doing that. So I thought that was a little odd. It's probably nothing, but it's kind of a fun thing to listen out for as you get into the show here. But I also wanted to tell a story that didn't make it on the podcast. And this is the story and how it goes. And it's kind of a, you know, kind of a story that's kind of close to my heart, I guess you'd say. So my dad, he passed away, right, in 2018. And when he passed away, I had him living in my house with me. You know, and we were taking care of him best we could. And we had all our family there and everything. And we were really, you know, doing our best to keep him comfortable, this, that, and the other. So we were all there for him. And at that time, my wife was, she had this little paper out on the side. So she'd go do that too at night. And she was pretty good at it. She'd get it done pretty quick. But my dad kept saying, my sister would walk by the room, the door, and he'd call her in there. Say, hey, look, I'm not crazy. I am not crazy, but I see your grandma and your grandpa here. And she said, what? Like, yeah, like, I'm not crazy. Like, right now? Yeah, they're right over there. You know, in the room. And she said, okay. And, you know, just kept talking to him. It's like, hey, you're not crazy, you know, it's okay. Are you all right? Like, are you getting ready to go anywhere? He's like, no, Chad, I'm just saying, I ain't crazy, but I'm seeing this, you know, this kind of stuff. And he said, one night they were getting, you know, really loud. you know, last night, they're kind of loud, and I had to tell them, hey, you guys, like you said, because they were laughing, and then some of my other family that passed too was there. They said they were laughing, and they were kind of, you know, like that, like really making a lot of noise. They said, hey, you guys need to be quiet, those kids are sleeping. And that night, my wife was coming back from the paper, her paper route, and when she got up to the house, there was what sounded like a TV was on really loud in my dad's room. And she came in and she, you know, checked. She said there was no TV on. She checked around. There was no TV on, but she could hear like a TV on, like people talking and stuff, and there was nothing. And so we always kind of, you know, think about that, but what really kind of made it, what made me feel good was my boy. He was really small at the time, and he was just learning how to talk. I mean, he could talk, you know, it wasn't like a big vocabulary or nothing, but he could talk. He communicated with us. And I remember that one day he come out, and he was telling us, Grandpa left. Like, what? Where'd he go? You know, thought he was talking about my dad, like his grandpa. And like, where'd he go? And I hear my, looked in there. He was in there sleeping, going nowhere. And he pointed toward that front door, like right there. And like, what? No. I said, who are you talking about? And he pointed up at that picture I have of my grandpa and grandma. It was right by the front door. And he pointed up at it and he said, Grandpa. he never knew, you know, my grandpa, because he passed in the early 2000s, so he never knew him. And this boy was born in 2016, so he never knew him. Just thought that was weird. But another strange thing that happened that night, my wife had to go on that delivery, and she came back in the morning and heard that sound like people were talking in that room, was there was knocking. We're all sitting at the kitchen table and my dad was sleeping, and there was knocking at that front door, and my brother got up and he went out, and just, there was nobody there. And it's like, huh, there's nobody there. And I sat there, and it happened again. There was nobody there. He went to go check, nobody there. To mom, maybe it's those kids. We got kids next door, and they, some, you know, sometimes they, who knows, maybe they're raising hell with us. And there was nothing. Like, there was nobody there every time it knocked. So, you know, it's strange. And we kind of think that was my grandpa and grandma and aunt and all them showing up for my dad. And, you know, things like that happen. They really do. I'm one person that can testify to that. Now, can I explain it? No, I can't. I really can't. Like, in any sort of skeptical way, I really can't explain that even like that. Scientifically, oh no. No, there's no way to explain that. Spiritually, yes. I have an idea of what happened spiritually, you know, like what went on. And, you know, of course, people say at the end of their lifetimes, when they're getting ready to make the journey, your family will come for you. And there are a lot of stories like that. And that one was ours. That was one of our stories like that. So I just wanted to share that because it didn't get onto the podcast. When I turned the recording off, we were still telling stories. We weren't done yet. And I figured we had enough at that point, and it was kind of winding down. So, you know, because we were telling stories before I start recording too. I was kind of like warming them up, you know, because they're both kind of hesitant. These two family members were some of the hardest ones I had encouraging to come on the show. So I was trying my best to keep them on and keep the conversation moving. You'll notice I tell some stories you've probably heard before on previous podcasts, but I'm trying to keep them going. So it was a good time that I had with them, and hopefully we'll have some more times like that with other family. Because that night, I got invited by another family member to to come to their house at some point, and we'll sit down and they'll tell me some stories, and this guy's got some stories, and I'm excited to go do that. He'll reach out to me when he's ready, and I'll, you know, make time to go see him, and we'll sit down and we'll do this at his place. But yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to that. And coming up, I had a few guests lined up, but we got part of a podcast recorded, but it's really not enough to put out yet, so I'm still waiting for us to finish one of the guests that I had. I reached out to a guy, he's a Cree, and he has some crazy stories. I mean, some of these are like prophecy type stories, so let's look forward to him soon, you know, because when I contacted him, he said he's available pretty much every day after 10 p.m., you know, my time. So that works for me. And we can record late where there's not a lot of noise, background noise going on, you know, where I record at. So I'm actually looking forward to him, too, because he's got a lot of really, really good stories. I mean, he has a lot of dreams, stories about dreams. So that's going to be really interesting. And another kid that, you know, had all these Goatman stories, he's going to be coming back on too. So I'm looking forward to these, you know, these folks that have reached out to me. And yeah, as soon as I get them, we'll get them up and we'll get them posted. There are a lot more things I could be doing. You know, I could be reaching out to a lot of past guests where I know we only scratched the surface of our conversations, and I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to reach out to these other ones I know that we have more stories with, because there's a handful in mind where I know, like, we didn't even get there yet. So I'm actually looking forward to that too, and it's kind of, you know, I like to update you guys on what I'm doing and directions I'm going and what I'm kind of thinking about with the show. So that's kind of it. And you know, I just, like, aside from the show, I just like to encourage everybody to, you know, just be happy for this life that you were given. Be happy. I heard a guy talking, and I'm going to borrow some of his words. He said, "This one life you were given from the Creator," he says, "don't waste it. Find the beauty in your life." And, you know, that's really true. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, next day. The things that are bothering you today, just set them down. Just set them down. It really don't matter, you know. What really matters is the relationships you form with people in your life. That's what's important. You know, I've spoken to so many people that were older, getting ready to pass all these things, and they all have the same thing to say. Like, one of the greatest things you can do is, you know, these are my words, is foster relationships and keep them. You know, when I see my grandpa, he would always go and talk to his friends when he was older and his wife had passed. He always kept that relationship up with his friends. He always had a lot of good people that he would go talk to and was really close to. So I kind of look at that and I realize that's what's important, you know, is keeping those things close to your chest. I mean, your family, of course, and any relationship that you have, make sure it's a good one. Anyways, let's get into the show. So what was that story again with that patient that you found unresponsive?
So it was kind of like winter time. We get paged to this house for an unresponsive person, and there was, like, you know, a junk car, a broke down car. There was it was kind of like a station wagon that was right in front of there. And so my partner's running the house before me, and I grabbed a pocket mask. Okay, that was like really a long time ago. Just the pocket mask. So, but anyway, go in there, and as I was walking, there was a person sitting in the car. They just kind of, you know, I know this person. They nodded their head and just kind of, and I just thought, well, what are they doing sitting out here, huh? So went in there, go down the hallway, go to that room. That person that was sitting in the car was our patient, unresponsive, was doing. We never got the person back, but.
Really?
Yeah. It was just kind of weird.
It was sitting there?
Yeah, just nodded at me when I walked in that house. And then afterwards, I was just like really looking when we were coming out, carrying the person out. Really looking. Yeah, and then I don't know how they could have been sitting in there because that car just had like stuff piled in it, you know, so it must have been like a junk vehicle to like a slash storage or whatever. But there was no room in that seat to sit.
You know that ward? That one time, my wife's grandpa was in there. It was, you know, end of life kind of care going on in that room. But I didn't go in there and visit there. All the family was there. Everybody on that side had family. And I remember sitting in that waiting room and it felt like there was just me and maybe five others sitting out there. It's kind of visiting here and there, and then the staff or some couple ladies behind us, but it felt like it was crowded in there. Just in that little area, I started feeling kind of, I don't know, uncomfortable, claustrophobic, something. Like I had to get out of there because it was just, it felt too full. So I ended up sitting out in that car and waiting, and finally they come out and we left, but the next day, one of my wife's cousins was saying, yeah, there was this woman. She would peek out, like, you know, that top part? Mm-hmm. So the door in that top part? She'd peek out there and look down that hallway at him and then come back in. He says, and at one point, she peeked out from the top, but moved all the way down that door, kind of like to a normal size, and then peeked back in. Right through the door, just peeking at people, but I don't know if I was feeling something like that night, but I just had to get out of there, because it felt like, well, if I'm being honest, it felt like there's a lot of spirits in there, and I just, it felt crowded, and I had to get out, you know, because when someone's getting ready to pass, it happens, they all start showing up, you know, for them, and whatever that was, though, I don't think it was for him, it was just something there, kind of spooky, but, I remember a video taken at the hospital up here of that little girl walking in.
I was looking at that. Yeah, the security guard, their office is not near the ER. And, you know, it's middle of the night. There's nobody else besides the ER. And we were, like, watched her on the camera. She, like, beeline from her office to the ER. That's where the EMS used to hang out. We were never here.
Yeah.
And she was like, just why does it go? She came in, she was like, you guys got to check this out. And so then she brought us over. And then one of us, like that picture that's out there.
Yeah.
I took a picture. She took a picture. And then the other one took a picture. And then I think she's the one who put her picture on Facebook.
Yeah.
But we were all working that night when that little girl showed up in those double doors.
That was weird because it was like she just kind of appeared outside and went through them. Looked in a little bit, if I remember right, and then back out. Because wasn't there like a little area in there?
Mm-hmm. A little breezeway.
Yeah, just kind of come in, looked in these windows, and just...
And those doors never opened.
Uh-oh. Went right through the doors. But what I seen was like a little dress on her too, is that...
Yeah. Yeah, she had a little dress. And they say she hangs out too between like the ward and the lab. Like that hallway, I guess they'll see people walking, because like new security guards, they'll try to catch her, but then she'll take off. And then
they were showing me, just I don't know, maybe a couple years ago when I started, I didn't need to see those, but they were the ambulance pulls in, garage door closes, and where you could see it, there was like a little kid in the back of that ambulance just kind of sitting there dangling their legs. So they go out and they look, and there's nothing. They look in that Yeah, so they've seen it a few times. And then another one, same thing, like the, it was a woman, goes out, goes through the waiting area, goes out the doors, you know, then there's those cameras on the outside. You could see, couldn't like really see the face, but turns and then it goes around the corner. When they look up, this person's face was of somebody that had passed away, you know. Mm. But yeah, you could, I was just like, why'd you show this? Oh. thanks a lot. So yeah, there's this, I felt pretty bad though, because it was like one of a person I know, it was their kid, you know. Mm. Not the little tiny one, the face, yeah. So just like, no, what do you do when they're stuck here?
Yeah.
And then I wrestled with, should I tell them, or, you know, I don't know if I'd want to know, or, I mean, can you pray them?
I think you can pray them over.
Mm-hmm.
I do. You know, because, well, shit, this one time, I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but I was working at this little house all day. They put two Amish sheds together and formed like this L shape, and they custom built like an addition onto it to link them together. One side was a kitchen, living room kind of dining area, and the other side was a bedroom and the bathrooms and stuff, and then there was like a little art room shed entry in the middle there. And it was new construction, but it was being built in this field. And when I went out there, there was a guy there, the trim guy, who also does the cabinets, and he's the builder's brother. But he was only there for a little bit, and he was asking me questions. Well, he had to put down these little blocks where I had the floor around, because that's where they're going to put the cabinets. You don't want the cabinets on that plank. And so stuff like that we were kind of figuring out. And he left. As soon as he left, man, I thought there was another trade there, because I was hearing hammering. Like, I was in that living room, and I was hearing hammering in that bathroom. And I don't know, I just thought I was, like, an electrician. That's how it sounded to me for some reason. I don't know why I thought that, but finally I got curious. I went back there, and it stopped. Nothing. And so I went to that back room, and I was looking around. Like, what the hell? And when I was in that back room, I'd hear it in that living room, hammering. Somebody with a hammer. I'd go back in there, and what the hell? As soon as I'd go in there, it would start in that back. I just kept doing that, and so I kind of could, I didn't even pay attention to it, put on my headphones and turned it up, listening to my book, and I just kept laying that flooring. Well, that kept happening. It happened, I was there for about 3 days straight, but that last day I was actually talking to Mom, and next thing you know, I was in that living room, and I just carried a box of wood in and set it down, and like I heard big old bang back there. I went back there, and heck, my boxes of flooring were knocked over, like, just kind of scattered a few of them. And those empty boxes were kicked around, too. And I knew there was something there. I was telling her, like, ooh, there's something that knocked my flooring over in this. Then the phone did this weird thing where it said, I don't know what it was, no service, no connection, no something. The call dropped. I couldn't call out or nothing, and I was trying to call back, and next thing you know, Mom called back in, and then the phone rang, it accepted the call. Hey, it's weird, this phone's acting up now too. I don't know, there's something out here. So I think I'm gonna go smudge or something. Maybe I'm gonna get home, because I just wanted to finish working, and I wasn't too worried about it. Well, I got done, but I had to go back out there to finish these stairs, and like this one little area where that water heater was gonna go. I wasn't going to be in until a little bit later, so I went back, a day later. My wife had a dream. Okay, so my neighbor was an Army veteran, a mortarman, I want to say. Well, anyways, he struggled. Like, he had really bad PTSD. He struggled, man. It was bad. We used to kind of, like, lean on each other. We'd talk. And we'll just be outside, and we'll just be talking about stuff, you know. And Yeah, well, good talking to him. Like, somebody understood, you know. I think he felt the same way, because we'd always do that. Well, they moved. We moved to our house we live in now. They moved further into town, and next thing you know, we get a call that he shot himself. He just couldn't take it anymore, and he had his dog with him. His wife and kids went out, and the police came and everything, and they threw flashbangs in that house. One of those flashbangs ended up killing his dog, killed him. He killed himself, and it was bad. It was on the news and everything. It was pretty bad, poor guy. And next thing, Amber had a dream. She dreamt he showed up with his dog at the house. And he said, you know, is Rod here? And, oh no, he'll be back. He's finishing a job, but he'll be back. She said he looked really, like he really needed to talk to me bad. He says, well, when he gets back, can you have him come see me? And so I get back to that job, and I'm thinking, is this him trying to get my attention? Does he need help? Is he, what's going on here? That's it. I couldn't help but think that. So I finished what I had to do, and I went back to, and it was still happening the whole time. And so I went home that night, and I really prayed, you know, smudged and everything, and I really prayed for him, and, you know, asking those spirits to help him, to take him, to guide him over. You know, and I was worried about him. That's kind of the gist of it. So I get done with that, and I have to go back there because there was one piece of sternos that didn't come in yet, and it came, so I had to go back there. So when I went back there, nothing, not one bang. Not one freaking bang in that whole house. Nothing wrong, like, just quiet. And I was just waiting for it, too, to start again. And nothing. I even had to go back another time, too. I can't remember for what. It was, like, pick up a box or something, or something like that. Again, no bangs, and I was the only one there. So I really think you can pray people over. And I think that's what I did that time for my friend. Cause, I mean, we went to his funeral and everything. It was pretty sad. And I think he was stuck, and he was trying to get my attention. Like, oh, this guy, you have to carry on like that. And, but really, oh, he's really raising hell in there if that was what was going on. Oh, like, I know you're there. Oh. Yeah, that story, I call it the Little House of Bangs. Yeah, that. That happened not too long ago. It's summer before this last one. So out at Temed, is there? Remember that time when we were sitting out there and remember a dog barked behind us and Daniel went and jumped? Did I ever tell you what happened with all that? So Amber was asleep. She was asleep and next thing you know, somebody come in there, opened that door, and was standing there and looked at her, but it was a man. Looked at her and closed the door. And walked. She heard him walk down that hallway. And I came in not long after that, and I walked into that bathroom to use it. And I just come back out because she was asleep. And I didn't think anything. And that's when we were sitting in there, and Daniel's back was to the hallway. And if his back was to the hallway, and the dog start barking over his shoulder toward that hallway, and he jumped. Brian was sitting at the computer, or was it me? One of the two.
It was you, I think.
Yeah, and he jumped toward us because of that, how that dog was barking. And anyways, that man walked down that hallway, looked in. We didn't even notice it. The only thing we noticed was that dog. So I start laughing, teasing my nephew, this guy, and it scared. We started laughing and kind of joking, and we just kept, you know, had that computer playing a war game. And not much longer after that, my wife come out. She come down and said, hey, was you just in that room? Was you in there? And I don't know. So, all right. And she went back in there, and that next morning she told me, yeah, there was somebody that peeked in at me, looked at me, and then walked down that hallway, and made that dog bark. But we think it was from that, you know, that thing Grandpa had in his closet.
Yeah.
That's what we think.
Yeah.
That time when these guys were just little, we were watching a scary movie. There's Brian, Daniel, Bobby, and Taryn was over there. And anyway, Grandpa was already in bed. And I think it was like that Leprechaun movie or something, you know. It's kind of had that light on above the dryer there. Mm-hmm. Next thing you could hear Grandpa's bed, you know how it was like kind of creaky? You could hear it just moving, and he started, "Shasty, Shasty." So I went down there, down that hall, and I was like, "What?" He said, "Tell these kids to behave." He said, "They're jumping on my bed and I'm already sleeping." And I was like, "We're all in the living room." Grandpa got up, and that suitcase that was underneath there, he kicked it, and he's like, "God damn it, knock it off, I'm trying to sleep." He just climbs back in bed. "Brian, Shasty, I want to go home now." "I have to walk home."
I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah, and it quit after that, but his bed was just like, like somebody was, you know, like, yeah, we jump on it. Yeah. So it sounded.
Yeah, that, I don't know, Grandpa's a, he was, I don't know how to describe him, man. He wasn't scared of too very much, you know. But he was, too, at the same time. It was weird. Like,
that time he, remember that owl?
Yeah.
When that happened to me. Ooh. Well, I was like, I don't know how old I was, but anyway, I was on the phone talking with a supposed crush or something, but we were arguing, and my dad was, it was like one of those big long telephone wires, so I was sitting out on a porch, my dad was watching TV, and we was arguing, and Uncle Terry's pickup was there, and we'd just put that garbage in there, and then after it was full, we'd run it down to the garbage can at the end of the road. There was these owls that were hanging around there, and just figured it was from that trash, and one jumped on, you know, it was kind of parked close, one jumped on that, or landed on the box. And I was talking, I was like, "Well, wait now, let me chase this, you know, shoo this away." So I went to get up, and then it jumped like right on the porch railing, and I couldn't even move, and it started talking to me in Blackfeet, and I was just like, and the person I was talking to on the phone, all they heard was just the bird squawking and, like, you know, their wings flapping, and I couldn't move. I was just like paralyzed. I wanted to move, but, and they were saying, just run, you know, what's going on, just run. And I was like crying, I was like, I can't move. And I don't know, I was just freaking out. Finally, I was, took off, and my dad was sitting on that couch, really watching TV. And I finally got to go in there, and I just dove on him, and I was just screaming and crying. Snaked him out, I think. Grandpa come running down that hallway, and what's going on? And I was just hysterical, and so I start telling him what happened, and, you know, and I don't speak our language, but I told him what they said, and was telling me to help it, help, you know, it was hungry, feed it. And Grandpa was like, "Oh yeah, those owls are mischievous like that." And geez, I was just all scared. And Grandpa, you know how he always read the newspaper, he was laying on his bed, and I followed him. I'm scared. And geez, my dad was getting that gun and stuff. He come down there, and he was, because they were on that basketball court, then the owl. And so he comes there, and Grandpa's really reading his newspaper, and his knee, you know how he would lay there, his leg was crossed, he was really reading it, and he, "Dad, Dad," and Grandpa's gonna let that side of the paper, he looked at it with his glasses on. He told him, "Is it bad luck to shoot an owl?" And Grandpa said, "Yeah, for the owl." Dad just got mad. He was like, "You smarty son of a bitch." Walked down that hallway. Grandpa really got a kick out of it. Oh, dad, he was shooting at those owls, and he was taking, like, you know, that gun was on, but, yeah. Yes, it was pretty freaky, but grandpa.
For the owl.
Yeah, for the owl, I just all serious, stoic.
That's crazy, these stories.
He's so comical.
Like, there ain't very many people that have stories like that, you know?
Yeah.
There's not even around here, not very many people, but heck, I talked to a lot of others that are not from any tribe, you know, non-natives, and a lot of times when they're growing up, oh, cripes, they'll see something in their family, they'll just tell them, hey, you're nuts. Go back to your room, you didn't see nothing. Well, go get spooked by yourself. You're just crazy. You know, how do you take that as a kid? Seeing us, we didn't really have to worry about that too much, you know? Like, we always I don't know, I guess we're acknowledged, except for boarding school, who always got spanked and put to bed.
You got to sign your name on a paddle.
Yeah, she did.
Shucks.
Yeah, that house out there, man, there's been a few things. You know, when we lived there in that thing that Grandpa had in that closet, that kept it safe.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. We didn't really get bothered.
After Grandpa passed, and we were staying there, and I went to Cut Bank with rode with Bugsy and Bum, and come in. He was like, you know, you're crying too much. You need to take care of your kids. Bugsy was telling me. He said, I'll go. He said, I'll just pray for this house. You know, he's really a strong Christian. I didn't tell him anything. Comes in and he goes down and he wasn't in that hallway fast. He just come buzzing back down and he was like, all right, let's go. Come on, Bob, let's go. And I start laughing. I was like, what'd you feel? And he was like, there's something. And he was like, no, I didn't feel anything. Come on, Mom, let's go. But then I seen him a few days after that, and he said, there's something in there. And I was like, yeah, it's not bad. I said, it's those bundles that are in there.
Yeah.
But he felt it in the other room, not in mm-hmm. Grandpa's room. Yeah, he felt it in the other room. But
I mean, like right now, I think there's something in those woods in Tumed, and that whole area down on the bottom, I was watching them, they're all falling. And I was like, how come it's just in this area? Because all the other parts of the woods, there's no, those trees aren't, you know, falling over.
Yeah.
But in just that area, I started kind of walking through where those trees are down. There's like two of them. I took a picture. I'd have to find them, but there's like, it almost looks like a claw mark, but it's like something just clubbed the shit out of it, but where it hit the tree is about 20 feet in the air. And then it's cracking them in half down there. And I was like, remember I said I'm, you know, going for jogs down there, and my dog is really shitty and doesn't come down there with me?
Yeah.
When I get to the point where you go down the bottom, that dog won't come down there with me. Because it's just a really, like, ugly feeling. But it's really windy and Browning, so I need somewhere to run. So so it started getting worse this summer. I could feel it down there. And those trees are starting to fall over even faster. And it feels like something's watching you if you get to certain parts of it. But I think right now there's something down there.
What do you think it is?
It's tall, whatever it is.
That's really weird.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Because that time, I was down there, and I don't know if, again, I don't know if I told you guys this, but when me and my wife lived down there, I walked down to the bottom to, you know, where you just go on that road all the way down to them sloughs, and before you get to those sloughs, there's a place where you could kind of walk off, and there's this trail that actually leads all the way behind them into these trees. It's just, it's really bad back there, but it'll eventually get onto that fence, and from that you can walk out to that clearing by Jim Revis's, so it's just like this little L. You can cut across, but when I was walking down that, not too far, just off of that road, not too far, there's that trail that would start, and I seen a green broke branch. That's what made me stop, and like, because I had my rifle, I was ready, you know, I thought something would be in there, but I seen this branch, it was about that big. You know, those kind that we used to hang off as kids, really thick, strong one, and they were, and when I looked up, it was about 15 feet up. It broke off, and I looked down, like, because how it was laying was in a line, and I looked up, about 5 paces, there was another one. So I get to that one, by then I'm not hunting anymore. I got my rifle slung, and I'm looking, and there's another one, and another one, and I stopped, and I'm like, what the hell is this? And I look back behind me. There was even on the other side of that little road, starts almost a hill right away. There was even one broke there, but they were all in a line. And I start looking at those branches, because I thought, well, maybe one of those guys up there roped a branch and was testing their saddle or their horse, and they're just pulling. So I start looking for horse tracks, I start looking for rope marks on that tree, nothing. There was nothing wrong with any of these branches, and they, you know, you can tell when a branch is broke relatively, because it's fresh. That's how they all were. They were all fresh, and even the leaves didn't wilt, they weren't sagging, they, nothing. Just like, you know, you're getting, like, you know, at Sundance when you're getting those walls, just, they were just like that, like, just still green. And I start looking around, like, because I was curious about it, so I followed it. And they start leading into this area that was really thin. I mean, it was so thin that I couldn't even take out my gun anymore and use it. It was really thin. And, oh, I start getting scared, because I don't know, man. Everything got quiet, like, quiet. I remember that, like, quiet. And it scared me. You remember those weird cold areas down there? Mm-hmm. You can just walk through them. For some reason, I start thinking about those and scaring myself, too, at the same time. So I took that rifle off, and I was thinking, what's going on? Why is it so quiet? Like, it was really quiet. Like, I didn't hear birds. I didn't hear anything. Like, nothing. The insects, nothing. And you can kind of hear the river from there. I couldn't even hear that. It's like I was underwater, so I don't know. It was really weird. But so I start backing up because I'm scaring myself at this point. And I won't, like, I'm scared to trip, so I'm doing this weird little, have my rifle, and then step, you know, I start walking out, I'm scared of this spot, and that's where all of those trees led to. So anyways, I start thinking about these guys, I was thinking, oh, these kids are going to be, you know, they might be at that river, or they might even come down this way. Whatever's here, whatever's doing this, I better look. I had no idea what it was doing this, or what was even going on, if anything. But I was scared, so I thought, I'm going to circle around this way, around this area, because it felt like in the military, those are like danger areas, and that's what it felt like. So I start going around, and I couldn't go any further. It was just too thick, and it was too rough. There was a lot of rose hips. So I stopped, and I went back around this way, and I remember I could go all the way around, and I kept that in my sights that whole time, just look a little bit, and, you know, because I was scared of it, and as soon as I come around this way, I thought, okay, now I'm past that little blockage, so I'm going to come back, and I start walking, and as I was coming up, like, I remember seeing these willows, and they start getting really thicker and taller, and in there was a trail, and I only seen it by one step. Like, if I would have took another step, I wouldn't have been able to see it, because it was a curved trail, and I only seen it from that one little spot, and it was gone. I looked back, like, oh, there's a trail in there. And so I followed it, and that trail was a spiral. Like, it was hidden. If somebody made that trail, say deer, however it was made, I don't know, but I thought to myself, God, this, whoever's doing this is really smart. Like, how do you hide a trail? It's really hard to hide a trail like that. And it would, to me, it looked like it was hidden, so I followed it. And it led me around, and as it starts circling back this way, it led to this, like this really dark, it was a hole in those trees, like this, like it was natural. And there was so much brush, it was just dark in there. And I was about like from here, you know, about 15 feet from it maybe. And I could see it. I couldn't see in there, but I was trying. It's going like that. And I just got the hell out of there at that point because I was thinking, there's no way I'm going in there. I don't know what the hell this is. I'm not. So I got out of there. But right behind where this happened, where that first branch was on the other side of that road, Amber wasn't even far from there. She was just up in that little spot picking peppermint. We had gotten an argument. I went to town. So she walked down and she was trying to, you know, relax and get a grip and all that. That's when she seen that thing down there. She said it was about this tall. It was a hairy man. I said, well, how did its face look? And I said, it was an ape or human? I said, no, it was human looking, more human than ape, but it was hairy. She says it was standing, it was in a tree, and it was standing on a branch, reaching up, and just like shaking that whole tree. She said that's what she was just kind of like spaced out, not really thinking, she said, and all of a sudden it got quiet on her. It got quiet. Start one. That's what kind of made her start looking around and listening, and she heard rustling. She looked up because that tree was moving, those leaves were rustling. So she seen it looking at her, and it stopped. And I guess, you know, like how a dog turns its head sideways? Like, you know, it looked at her like wondering, should I? Well, you know, like pondering something. And she said, man, I never felt like prey in my life until that day. She said, because that thing scared me, whatever it was. And she said, what made me run was, it was about, she said, about 25, 30 feet up. And it just jumped, just stepped off. She says, and when it landed and all that brush, she said, barely made a noise. She said, if I start booking it up that road. She said, when I was up the road, it was in the brush running beside me. So that got all the way through that second clearing. It was still in that brush right beside her. And when she finally got up, start going up, your guys' dogs come down. They met her just at the top of that hill, and they start chasing something. And whatever they chased, they only went to that second clearing and stopped. Then they come back up the other side behind your guys' place. And your dad was asking, what's going on with that? What are they chasing? And she said, I don't know what that was. But, so anyways, I almost wonder if it was that because, you know, one time we were fishing at the bridge and me and Amber got dad and we come out and he was with your mom. Anyways, he was with his girlfriend and we got out there and...
Was that when he seen that thing?
Yeah. Yeah, he was in the middle. So I was at the, you know where you kind of, those first cliffs right there, I was fishing off of that. He went way up with his girlfriend and went down and started crossing. There was a log out there, like a log jam, just one log though. And so they sit on that and he was just soaking their feet. That's all he wanted to do, soak his feet. And as he looked up, there was one standing against that wall. It's this big old giant hairy man standing there against that wall. He said, it was this still. He said, but it was big and it was, its hair was black. It had black hair on it and standing there looking at him. And because he come up, I was still fishing, I was getting more grasshoppers, and he come up, him and his girlfriend, and he said, hey Rod, do you think we could head out? Can you bring us back to town? Like, yeah, well, heck, I was just gonna get more grasshoppers and try again, but I ain't biting anyways, I'll just dump these. Yeah, come on, let's go. So we start going back in on the way, and he start telling me, hey, we were down there, that's why we come up, I seen Bigfoot. I'm like, what? Like, what did you see? He said, yeah, he was big, and he's standing there against that cliff wall, just still. He said, he wouldn't move. He didn't move anything. He says, well, yeah, he moved just his eyes. Yeah, what do you mean? He said, yeah, because when we started getting out of there, I seen it, and she seen it, and I started putting on my boots, and I was like, you know, get out of there as quick as we can. But its eyes never left me. Didn't move its body, but its eyes are just watching us. So then we got up to the top. And this is a part of the story I always leave out. But he was reaching over trying to get his girlfriend up that bank. Because he stepped up there, crawled and stepped up, and he was reaching down to get her. He finally pulls her up and he's taking a few steps back, and he tripped and he fell. And when he fell, he said, I sat up and I started looking. He said, heck, I was laying in a... I fell on a bed. He said that there was dirt pushed up. He said it made like this little plateau. It's my word, it's not his. I don't remember how he described it, but that's how he said it was, like this little plateau. It was like that, and he said, and there was moss. He said there was moss. I don't know where there's moss at down there, but that's what he said was lining that top of that bed. He said, and it was big. He said, I think I fell in Bigfoot's bed. That's his story, but I leave that part out of that. But anyways, he said, I just got up, and I just grabbed her, and we come straight up this trail, and that's when I told you, bring us back in. So there is something, you know, down there. I don't know what it is. I mean, that hairy man. So Dad said he's seen it, so I kind of think it's that. Like, what else would break branches that high up? I don't know if it's the same thing you're talking about that did that over there. Could be. I don't know, but...
Like, the branches there, like, some of them are just, like, blasted. It's like...
Like, hit?
Yeah, like, they're taking, a really good whack at it. That whole area, if you look, you go down and look at it, it's like in a, like a semicircle. They're all, if you look at that part of the woods,
yeah,
it's all just blasted down. But then you go to the other parts of the woods and it's okay.
It looks like how they're hit, like how, like with a branch or something?
It could be, yeah, something like that, because they're, it's like they're blown apart, some of them just look like, you know, just that, like a breakage at one point, nice and easy, like you were pulling on it.
Yeah.
But some parts of it, it's like the trees are just blasted apart. Because I was trying to look through there and figure out what the hell's going on with all the trees down here.
Do you think they may have, I don't know, let something loose, called something loose?
I mean, when you're going to a sweat, you're bringing... Some people are bringing all this bad and they're trying to, you know, pray it away. And and something might have got out, you know, out of that sweat lodge. Because if you look at it, they've made attempts here and there to kind of fix it up. But there's been some points where that thing was almost just broke apart looking.
Oh, really?
So something could have got out of there. I don't know.
That's scary.
But it's the only place I can go for a jog, so.
Can your dog go with you, Dad?
No. Gets to the top and then just stops.
Do you remember that time when we were kids and they told us not to go down to that river? There was a bad spirit in the water. Do you remember that?
Is that when all those things were in that water?
I don't know.
Those cloths or...
Oh, really? No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it was just like... I don't know. I think I remember. But yeah, I remember.
I just remember them telling us not to go down there anymore, that, you know, someone's going to come down there and do a ceremony or something. And I guess cleanse it or something like that. And, well, you know me, I couldn't stay away from that creek.
Shoot, we just kind of pack lunches. Head out and we'd have them ate before we go to the bottom.
Yeah. Some good berries down there too.
Yeah. Right?
But I think I gave it about a week. Oh, I was jonesing for that creek, and I walked down by myself, but I ate some Hawkins snuff. I was just kind of offering it when I crossed that creek, because I had to cross it a few times. What I was doing was going all the way down to Potts's. My cousin stayed there at the time. And she's my age. And I went to go get her and bring her up to that. Remember that really cool green hole that was up there? And that bank thing?
Yeah.
That wire bank? Made a really cool green hole down there at one point. And so we'd always go swim. And
diving board?
Yeah, I brought her. I said, come on, I'll show you this place. And I didn't tell her that we were supposed to stay away from it, that we were warned. So we went in there. I just wanted to swim, and I didn't think there was nothing going to happen. And walked off that little thing. I said, yeah, we're here. This is where we go. And I walked down to about knee high because it went down like this into the water and it was really deep on that side. And I dove in and I swung back around like that. And I said, see, that's how you do it. And I crawled back up on that thing and walked up to her. She was in front of me and she dove in. And she was getting ready to come back up and the sun was right there. I remember seeing down, the sun was shining through that water. I could see her face all happy coming up and hold this chain. She just got this fear. Her eyes got big and bubbles start coming out. I could hear her screaming under there. And as she was coming up, that stopped too. And she started going down. Cripes, I reached down, almost fell in, but I started pulling on it and I pulled her up. And as she come up, she was just screaming, something grab me, something grab me, something grab me. And I walk her over to that bank. We sit down and right here. And I looked on her left ankle. There was a man print. A man's like grabbed her so hard it made her skin red right there. Perfect. Just a handprint. Anyway, we stayed the hell out of there from that point. And I don't remember what happened or if they ever made it out there to cleanse that or what they were doing. I have no idea, but I remember after that I always offered tobacco when I crossed that creek because I was scared. But you remember that too, huh? I wonder what that was. What happened down there?
I don't know.
How about that old house over there, where aunt and uncle have a house now? That old one. You heard stories about that place? I think I've heard a few, but what did you hear about it? Don't want to tell. What about you?
Friends telling us, but
what did they say?
It was like her telling the stories of like grandpa, because they would mess around and they would run from there to Bum Bum's. I can't remember how she said it, but they were just messing around and then they were just kind of making their way between that house and then that other house up the river there. And they were just kind of messing around and then Grandpa was like kind of grabbing them. Mm-hmm. And then he would just mess with them like that when they were on that road. And that time they were coming back, it was getting towards night. And then they had that, someone grabbed them again. And then they were like, oh, this guy quit messing around. And then they looked up and then Grandpa was down the road and they looked at him and then they looked back and there was a, I think they said like an old lady or something. And then one of our uncles is much way faster. He's a way faster runner and they just busted. But I mean stuff like that, those two would, they have a lot of stories, but
you don't want to talk about it, huh?
But
I don't know, but the only thing I was ever told is that somebody had like broke down or something. They were, or got left, and they stayed in that. They, you know, went in that house. It seems like they said it was a woman, and you know, for shelter or whatever. She ended up going to the loony bin after that. I guess she was normal before then, but I don't know what the heck they seen and stuff in there.
Yeah, that's I think the same story I heard. The version of it that I heard was, could be a whole separate time too, was that they were actually had a fire out there and they were partying. And that girl got really drunk and she wandered in there and passed out. Everybody just kind of forgot about her. They went to town and left after a while, and somebody remembered her, went back out, and oh, she was nuts. She went nuts in there. They got her out. It's like she was in shock, but she was, she went crazy. Something happened to her in there. Yeah, that whole area down, you know, that whole valley down there.
I remember one time with that ditch bank there wasn't water in there. I think it was me, you, and Sherilyn, and we were playing. We was gonna go over to that little cellar thing, and they were told us to stay out of there. They said, you know, might cave in on us.
Yeah.
that we were playing in that, right under that old bridge, and we start finding like old spoons and stuff, and then we start hearing like, I don't know if it was like rattles or, you know, singing, and Aunt Audrey come racing. That's how short she was. You guys get in here. They heard it too, but I don't know what that was, but yeah.
I must have been pretty young. I don't remember that.
I was just playing in that sound.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there, you know. Dad used to say,
up on top, I mean, we was riding horses and we got separated from them when a storm came in. And we thought that it was like snooty and, you know, geez, it was really running here. It was like something black and it felt like we turned around. I don't know if we got to, that thing brought us home.
Really?
Yeah. And it didn't seem like we were gone for a long time. Just, you know, like, but I guess we were gone for a couple hours.
Cool.
Yeah, it didn't even seem like we were, that was like up on top, way up on top.
You know that,
These are little Shetlands are going fast they could go. Billy Jack.
Billy Jack was a good horse. Yeah, he's a really good one. I used to take him across the creek and let me keep him for a day or two. But Dad was telling me a weird one. He said he was on that hill behind Grandpa's and he was watching. He's just sitting up there and he's watching across that river. Yeah, I could see those trees just across that river, and he said what he's seen was, what is how he described it, like, imagine just like a, I don't know, a circle, like a porthole, like just like a window. He would see a bunch of old Indians walking, but just through that little part, see a whole bunch. He said, I'd see them traveling. They were walking up that, and he said, get to another part. He said, I'd see it again. It's like I was looking through a window over there. And you'd see them walking. He said, because you couldn't see them all the time, just when I'd get to a certain spot. He said, but there was a bunch, men, women, old people, kids, just walking up that side of that river. I thought that was a weird story.
I said, Grandpa always used to play cards down at Potts's, and he stayed up by Uncle Bum Bum, and so he would walk home. He said, it would be late, 2-3 in the morning. He said, one night it was like really blowing out, and he had his coat, you know, with pull right there. He said he was going through that brush, and something told him in Indian, give me your coat. I told him, what'd you do? He said, I just got mad at him. Told him, no, I'm not giving you my coat. It's cold. He kept on walking. I said, oh, I would have ran.
Yeah. Your coat?
Take my coat.
I always asked him for ghost stories.
Yeah.
He would never really tell me any. He wouldn't.
You know how he was on council and he'd fly out? He wouldn't go stay the night before. He would always drive down from early. He said he stopped at, Old Agency or Birch Creek? One of them. He stopped there. He had to use the bathroom. It was about 4 o'clock. It was behind his car. He had one of those LTDs. He said he was really, he said, I was really using a can. Hey. And then his car honked. Told him, what did you do? He said, got the hell out of here.
I remember that. Yeah. You weren't scared to get in there? Oh, no, I didn't get the hell out of here. I've kind of been scared to get back in there. Yeah, but that one, when I was finally bugging him, he finally told me when he said, yeah, I was telling ghost stories. We were all telling ghost stories down at Revis's, and they start scaring me, telling me, you better look out now, and you're going through that brush. He said, because I had to cross the creek, get on the ditch bank, and walk. I said, ah, ain't nothing up there. I'm going to be scared. Kept walking, and he said, got so far down a ditch bank, and there was this cowboy with a white cowboy shirt on, his hands on his hips. He's standing there and he's like, I ain't gonna be scared, but he had no head. So he didn't be scared. He just walked right up to him. Shit, it was a cow with a white head and white horns and a black body. They see each other and they just start running.
I know, he told me another when he said he was walking up there. He said it was light again. He said, next thing he said, I heard this. He said it sounded like a woman scream. It's just loud. And I told him, what'd you do? He said, so I screamed and I took off running. He said, then stop. He said, could start walking again. And he said, the next thing I heard, that scream. He said, so I screamed and took off running. He said, about three times I did that. He finally realized it was a mountain lion. It was probably stalking him. Oh, yeah, but he said, I'm like a woman. Yeah, I screamed. Really oh, I miss that guy. He's crazy.
Yeah. Should I remember you telling that? Reminds me of that story you said you were. You heard something on the fire line that sounded like a woman screaming, huh?
Oh, that was, over a decade ago, 2012, 2011. But we had went down to the Wall of Fire when it was ripping and roaring. At that time, it was the biggest fire in Arizona state history. And we were there for 2 weeks, and we came back, and we had 2 days of rest. And then we went back down again for another roll. And at that point, the fire was just kind of, it had bedded down quite a bit. And we were, got detailed, we got spiked out on the other side of the fire. And a lot of what we're doing was just going along the roadways and taking out hazard trees for when they start moving more resources through there. But that first night we got there and, we just had a big, like, bus. That's what they rented for us. We'd had our own vehicles, our own trucks, but they flew us down there. Mm-hmm. So then gave us a bus and our crew boss. We could hear those trees creaking. They had the fire to rip through that area. It was just kind of the best spot we could get, but had the Sawyers go out and kind of take out what hazard trees he could find. But he said nobody's making, camp out. You know, we were in an old campground. He said, nobody make a camp out there. He said, I want all of us just lined up along this bus. If a tree does come down, let it hit the bus, you know. And so everybody got their sleeping bags down and whatnot. And I don't know how it shook out, but I ended up being the one at the very end. And I was like, oh. And then I fell asleep. We were tired. We worked that whole day. And then about sometime middle of the night, I don't know what time it was, but it almost sounded like a woman, but it was just, it was really deep, and it had, like, kind of a sorrowful note to it, and then it sounded like it was looking for something, and we could just hear it moving down that valley, and I was laying there, and then Spoon was next to me, and then, or he was a couple people down, and then I was like, anybody awake? And Spoon was like, I'm awake. And I was like, do you hear that? And he said, yeah, bro. And it was like, and I was like, well, shit, I'm on the end. And then we just, and he was like, he's like, and he said, I know, bro. He's like, just be strong. So we just listened to it, but it sounded like it was trying to call for something or someone. Because that fire had just tore through that whole valley was just nuked out. And it was just making its way down that valley. But there was just a few of us that heard it.
What do you think it was?
I think Bigfoot.
Yeah. Okay, it's crazy.
It sounded like it might have lost their kid or something, you know? Mm-hmm. It was searching for something. But that was a crazy sound.
Ooh, I never did hear anything like the mountain lion. I think it was a mountain lion. That time fishing out in Star School, all those bird boys, and And all the way down past those beaver dams. There's a big bend down there. Got to right there, and that's when we heard that screaming like that. It sounded like a woman, or even like a little girl caught in... I thought it was a little girl caught in barbed wire, wandered away, and was all caught up. That's how it sounded to me, because it's so wicked. We get through those trees, and I'm just too scared to go any further. We start running. Left our fish poles, tackle, everything down there. Ooh. Those guys dusted me. They used to run track. They dusted me. I was the last one. I was scared looking back. All the way back up to that house. Must have been about a good mile run. Not too long, but get up to that house and Grandpa come and got me. He was already sitting up there. Come up there and went, oh, we heard sound. I was screaming. It sounded like a woman or a girl. Well, where's all your fishing stuff back? We left it. Well, go back down there and get it. Oh, man. Even those their parents, those boys' parents. Yeah, you guys get back down there. What was them kind of days? You know, today you don't do that. But back then, when, so we armed ourselves, hazy clubs, and walking down. There was nothing. There was nothing. We grabbed our stuff and got it. We even left our fish. We grabbed our fish and everything and went back up. I think it was a mountain lion, but you never know what the hell that was. Because people say they sound like a woman was Bigfoot up that way. The other guy that was in here telling that story, he was describing that area where our family that lives out there.
Right there by... Many Heights?
Yeah, they seen it all out there. They see it all the time. There's a bunch of them out there, and I guess they start... Well, they were worried. I don't remember who was saying it, but they were worried. I want to say there's another one that lives out there who would talk about it with them. And they were worried because of that new campground or whatever. They were thinking that thing's going to act up. I don't know if it ever did, but... Because yeah, it was right in that same area where it was always seen. Campground. I don't even know what that campground looks like out there.
Alright, that was our little conversation we had that night. And hopefully one of these times I can get these guys on separately and we could go from there, because there's so much more they haven't told either. This is one of those I was speaking about in the intro, is these two have so many stories. I mean, like, we just started talking about funny things too, you know, but these two, I mean, geez, I think we could probably sit down and have another two episodes apiece at least with the, you know, these two family members. So yeah, hopefully we get that done. Yeah, hopefully we get that done. And just so everybody knows, I'm thinking about all of you. And when you guys sit down and listen to these stories, I'm thinking about you guys. And, you know, all the indigenous folks that ain't on their reservations anymore. I think about you guys a lot too. And all of us, you know, that are able to get back home whenever, you know, that we almost, like, I think, almost take it for granted that we have all of our people around like that. And I know there's some people that don't really have that as much, or they don't have the opportunity to go back home as much as they'd like to. And, you know, I hope this podcast really, really gives you some comfort and some well-needed, you know, TLC for your heart and your mind. I really hope it helps you guys. But I guess with that, we'll close there. And everybody take care now. Till next time.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.